All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
It's fucking hot.
A little too hot for my personal taste.
It is hot as balls in this studio tonight.
We don't even have old syrup guts tonight. He's just melted away.
He's just
dead.
He's just without form.
It's true. It's atrocious.
It's amazing that he has actually managed to out-soften the actual Mr. Fantastic.
You know, last week you said the real Fantastic was rigid and tough or whatever the hell you said. Now you're saying he's soft and pliable?
I'm sorry. It's the heat. I think the heat's going to largely affect this show tonight.
It might.
I don't know. I may be prone to sudden outbursts of anger based solely on the heat.
Okay.
So this is Geek Stuff, episode 15, the one about girls.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's the title. The one about girls.
How'd you come up with that title?
Well, I have a friend.
Oh, do you?
Yes. I'll call him my friend. Who is listening to the podcast and says that he very much enjoys what he's heard so far.
Okay.
And told me that he was going to listen to more. In fact, when I spoke to him last Friday, he said, "And actually, I'm going to go home right now and I'm going to listen to the one about girls."
Right.
And then he said, "Oh, wait. No." And see, it was a big joke because we're geeks, ergo, we don't have girls. We don't speak about anything about girls. We don't date. We're you know, those kind of geeks.
Oh, right.
Even though you're engaged to a woman.
Right.
Fantastic has a girlfriend for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a whore.
It's true.
So
a himbo.
A himbo?
Yeah.
No. Man whore, maybe. Himbo?
Just saying.
You lost your mind, son?
It's the heat.
Oh, it must be the heat.
It's not the heat.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to let him go on his little one heat one because I'm going to have 10 of them tonight.
I'm sure.
We've already had 3 of them. We haven't even started yet. So what segment do you want to start with?
Something new.
Something new segment. Okay.
Right.
All right.
That's what
something
it's called.
Something new. He's looking quizzically at you.
I've done bad again. I'm used to it by now.
What do you got?
Well, in the past, you've heard us talk about Tonner Inc. a lot. Tonner Inc. is the company that puts out these Harry Potter 15, 16-inch scale premium style type figures that we really love and rave about. And we've finally been given the green light to bleed just a little bit of some of that secrecy that we've been holding back for you. Yeah, very exciting stuff. And it kind of ties into the whole the one about the girl thing.
Because they're dolls and girls play with dolls?
No. No, because of what they are.
Dolls?
Yes, dolls.
Girls play with dolls?
No, they're getting away from doll. Remember?
Oh,
Tonner Inc.
Damn, that's right. Inc.
Not Tonner doll.
They're collectible figures.
Right.
And I am totally supportive of their decision to do that, by the way, because that really justifies me owning them.
Sure.
So I'm cool with that.
All right. So what we're going to talk about right here real quick is the DC Stars program that they've announced and will be launching sometime next year.
DC Stars. Okay, good. Okay. Good.
And the lineup includes Supergirl and Wonder Woman, which are going to be the first two figures in the line.
Okay.
Followed by...
Have they said anything about what incarnations?
They have not. Okay. And there are no images available as yet.
Well, that kind of makes sense.
So we'll have to see. But, you know, we'll get that, I'm sure, as soon as they're available. I know that they'll send them to us. So.
Great.
In addition, they've got Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy.
Whoa, slow down. They got who?
Harley Quinn.
The Harley Quinn?
The Harley Quinn. I know. You're ecstatic. Joker-related character. Happy, happy, happy.
Wow.
Harley Quinn.
Exciting. Go on.
Poison Ivy, Catwoman, and Hawk Girl.
Okay. Again, nothing about incarnations.
No. And
because Catwoman.
Sure. There are,
I could think of 10 of them right off the top of my head.
Sure. That, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how Tonner does things and what their pieces look like.
Right.
And I can't think of a Catwoman piece, but I really can't think of a Poison Ivy piece either, to be honest with you.
One with the big goggles, like the Jim Lee one.
It might be.
I hope it's that one.
It might be.
I would not like to see the Jim Ballant one made.
Although that would probably be the most common one, but I agree with you. I would not like to see that one either.
And I would not like to see the Halle Berry one.
Oh, no.
And I'm assuming that I won't see the Michelle Pfeiffer one.
No, I'm assuming not.
And what does that leave? Like old school Catwoman?
Old school Catwoman.
Like
animated Catwoman.
Julie Newmar?
Yeah.
Batman from the 60s TV show Catwoman?
You never know. That might be up their alley. I'm not sure. But we'll have to see. Either way, I'm sure it's going to be a great piece.
Julie Newmar was a hot woman, by the way.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Sure. And in addition to that, they're also going to be doing a Superman and Lois Lane and a Batman and Batgirl.
Oh, like a twofer.
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Are they going to be the 16-inch type like the Harry Potter
stuff? Well, from what I remember, their scale is pretty much...
Very big.
Yeah, it's pretty much a solid scale throughout. Right. It doesn't vary too much unless they're doing a smaller, like a child-type piece or something like that. So I'm guessing it's going to be in the same scale. And as far as I know, they're talking about it in the same type of deal and the same type of release. So I'm guessing it's all this 16-inch type line.
Right. When can we look forward to the first one?
Probably early 2007, although I don't have a definitive date.
Okay.
I just want to say, for those of you who haven't believed us in the past about some of the other things that they're doing, I just got two new lines that I can't talk about at all yet. But when I saw what they were, I actually yelled holy shit out loud.
Did you tell me what they were?
I did.
Did I say holy shit?
You did about one of them.
Oh.
And the other one you were excited about, but not as much as the other one. So
tell me, is there any news about our recommendation for a Harry Potter Quidditch figure?
If you go to Tonner Inc.'s website right now and you click on the Harry Potter link on the site, the first image that loads is Quidditch Harry.
No.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Somebody's listening. Somebody's listening.
So
when is that one coming?
I don't know. I don't have a date on that one, or I didn't see a date on that one. He didn't give me a date on that one yet.
We gotta look into that.
Sure.
Okay. Good. So Tonner coming along. Mm-hmm. Lots of female characters, mm-hmm. as they are famous for. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting.
Sure. Moving along.
Yes, sir.
J.K. Rowling has come out this week.
Oh, speaking of Harry Potter.
Right. And said that in book 7. She's going to kill off two characters.
I hear one of them is Dumbledore.
That was book 6.
Oh. Oh, this would be the next book.
Right.
Oh.
The one that's scheduled to come out maybe next summer, I think.
And that's the last one, correct?
That is the last one.
Okay.
Two characters. As to which two characters, she won't say, although there's speculation that one of them will be maybe Harry. I don't know.
Really?
Well, she said something to the effect of she appreciates the notion of if you kill off the main character like that, then no one can come back and do storylines in the future without her contributing or having something to do with it.
Did you know that she is the richest woman in England?
It doesn't surprise me.
She has more money than the Queen.
Nice.
That's an actual fact.
She is the Queen.
Yep. Just want to point out that J.K. Rowling is a woman.
Right.
Just Just wanted to say that.
So somehow tying that into.
It's all tied into the one about girls.
Right. What do you got tonight?
Me?
Yeah, you. You have something.
I picked up a comic today that I wanted to turn everybody on to. It's kind of cute. And it kind of ties into what we're talking about. It's called Love and Capes. It's kind of your basic superhero, Superman derivative super character.
Okay.
Who has a girlfriend.
Okay.
Or a person that he's with who doesn't know, or does she know?
No, actually, I was kind of thumbing through it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like during the course of this first issue, he reveals to her that he is this superhero.
Right.
And then it's kind of a romantic comedy from there on out about, you know, her coping with him being a superhero and him being a superhero and her knowing about it, and chaos and silliness ensues. I don't know that it's my bag, but certainly some people will enjoy it, I'm sure.
Well, this is, again, another example of a book that you might get your significant other
right
to read, simply because it's not just a superhero story. It's also a romance.
Correct.
And that angle tends to be one in which you can have your significant other come in on.
Right.
So again, it's another example. We like to promote the fact that, this is especially true for guy geeks and comic geeks and so on, is that you really, I'm stressing this again now for the second week in a row, I wonder why, that you really want to get your significant other to at least give it a try, to try to find a way for her, in the case of men, to appreciate what it is that you're into.
Sure. I was able to get my fiance to read a couple of books.
Oh,
pretty regularly, actually.
Your fiance, because you've been dating her for a while, and now you're going to marry her.
It's true.
Because she's your girlfriend.
Right.
And you're a geek, and you have a girlfriend. That out to my friend. Go on, sorry.
Okay. Well, I'd love to say that I have some news about the Wonder Woman movie that's supposedly coming out, but not really. Joss Whedon did come out and say that, you know, the process to get these movies made and get them out is a very long and lengthy process. And while nothing is firm, it's definitely in the works. And it's a very wishy-washy statement that almost seemed useless to me to even say. I mean, we already know it's wishy-washy. We already know there's about a billion women that have been potentially tagged to play Wonder Woman. I think it was Charisma Carpenter at one point, Lindsay Lohan at one point.
Oh.
I had heard Monica Bellucci at one point.
Charisma Carpenter.
Tons of them.
I like Charisma Carpenter. She'd have to buff up a bit, but...
Yeah.
But I like Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
I don't understand why she's not being more heavily considered. She is an action heroine, my friend.
Is she?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm not going to say anything else about that.
Good. Because you'd be wrong. Whatever it is that you were going to say, you would be wrong.
I'm not going to say anything.
Good.
And Kev, what else do you have over there?
Well.
Jerk.
We got an email. And although we get lots of emails.
Sure.
This particular email we wanted to address.
It really stood out.
It did.
Amongst the hordes that we've been getting over the last couple of weeks.
It says regarding episode 13.
Right.
But we have some issues with that.
Sure.
It's actually a very nice email.
It is.
It's a little confusing,
mm-hmm.
but it is a nice email.
It certainly does not qualify as hate mail.
No.
Like we have gotten in the past.
It I would say, qualifies as constructive criticism, sort of. If you can kind of bend your head around a corner.
Not hate mail, but it has the word hate in it, right?
It does have the word hate in it,
yeah. The young man in question who wrote us the letter said that he wanted to thank us for talking about Miracle Man last week. And he says he never knew that Man of Miracles in Spawn was actually a character established decades ago.
Right.
And we talked at length about not only was he established decades ago, but he was stolen and then bought by some. It's kind of like stealing. It's kind of like stealing something and selling it, and then the other guy's using it, and it's
right.
That whole mess, which he found very interesting. So good. That's what
that's what we hope to get out of that segment, was to shine the light on the fact that it's not as simple as I drew this funny book.
Right.
Go ahead and read it. But and he also says that our podcast is very professional, very polished sounding, and so on and so forth.
Well,
and,
thanks.
And that we have elements that may be derivative from other radio shows.
Sure.
Which I say, yeah. Because if we can, you know, derive a style out of other styles that we enjoy, what's wrong with that? Third, he says, and this is where we
this
come
is the
into
questionable
the,
paragraph, yeah. Right?
I hate all of the opinions of everyone on your podcast. One of the guys sounded like a Marvel Comics hater, and none of you sound like you actually read current Marvel or DC comics. At least not the ones you discussed in episode 13. What did we discuss in episode 13?
Well, there are a couple points I think we need to hit here.
Okay.
First of all, in episode 13, we only discussed a really small handful of books. And they were in reference to other things. There were no lengthy discussions about books.
We discussed that.
Well, we discussed Miracle Man, Man of Miracles,
right.
etc.
Did we discuss? Oh, that was no, that was 14.
We brought up Rising Stars in reference to that NBC right. show about the superheroes that's
right.
coming out.
Right.
We talked about Spider-Man and Spider-Man books in reference to him unmasking himself in the Civil War issue that came out.
Right.
Which, you know, we read. That's how we knew. we talked about. We also talked
Hello.
About the Batwoman. The Batwoman story that
I thought he
that
mentioned
was announced
that here somewhere. He says that. He said a few of our criticisms were valid, like DC getting real with gay characters to get attention, but it seems like any change in the top two companies that we hate. So he did mention that whole the Batwoman thing.
Well, what confuses me here is, and he also makes reference to the fact that he doesn't know our names yet, but he's going to learn them eventually.
Right.
I don't know that he's just talking about episode 13 here. Is that problem that I have?
Well, that's problem one.
Because he really makes reference to a lot of things that weren't discussed in episode 13. So I'm not sure where that's coming from. As far as him hating our opinions or disagreeing with our opinions,
good.
That's the point. The point is to express an opinion, and we encourage everybody that listens to the show, if you have a differing opinion, to
do just this,
to us,
write it right here,
so that we can respond to it and discuss it. And I mean, that's the format, or the, you know,
wish,
that's what we're trying to do.
I wish that he had gotten a little more specific about exactly what his opinion was. Is since he didn't agree with ours, what was his opinion? He's just kind of like, I hated your opinion, but doesn't express his own. So right. That kind of bugs me. And let me just correct. Let me make one correction here. On here, he says that one of the guys sounded like a Marvel Comics hater. Now we all know that's got to be me he's referring to.
Right? Me.
But
his name is Kevin, by the way.
Yeah, my name
Big
is
Kev.
Yeah. I don't hate Marvel Comics. I hate Joe Quesada. So let's be very specific. I don't hate Marvel Comics. I love Marvel Comics. I read more Marvel Comics probably per capita than anything else that I read, I would say. I mean, with a DC, a very close second. But I read more Marvel than anything else. And the problem is, the reason it may, as he said here, may sound like that we don't actually read the current Marvel comics is because we're not on the air gushing about them, because, quite frankly, they're crap. I mean, for the most part, they are garbage.
Well, very quickly, I think maybe we should
That's
give...
That's not me hating Marvel Comics.
Oh, no.
That's me hating the direction in which...
The comics are currently going.
This individual, sure. Joseph Quesada, the editor-in-chief, has allowed the company to progress.
Well, very quickly, I think maybe we should kind of, just a little bit, give a little bit of our backgrounds as far as books are concerned, both
okay.
past and present. So why don't you start?
No, you go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. While I agree with some of the things he said, I don't actively read a lot of books currently. I do read a lot of stuff. I do read select things. Certainly everything that we discuss on the show, I read. Otherwise, I wouldn't feel comfortable talking about it. But I still do read a lot of graphic novels and trade paperbacks and stuff of the like.
Right.
A lot of stuff that doesn't come from Marvel and DC. So there is some... Right. validity to that to a certain extent.
Correct.
But prior to that, or prior to this current point in my life, I've read books for years. I've read tons and tons of Marvel books mostly, some DC.
Right.
So a lot of what I say is based on opinions that I've been able to formulate through the years, and I can call upon stories and particular things that I remember from the past. So that's kind of where I stand.
Okay.
What about you?
The first two comic books I ever bought were X-Men 120 mm-hmm. and Marvel 2-in-1, Thing and Quasar.
Nice.
So if you can find out the dates on those, you can find out when I started reading comics. And that's when I started reading comics. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading comics for a long time.
Right.
Over 25 years, I would venture a guess.
And unlike me, you still
probably
actively
well
read.
Well over. Yeah.
Every week.
Every week. And a lot.
Right.
My comic bill is big.
Right.
So if you're getting the impression that we don't read comics, you're probably getting that impression because the comics that are out there now are really, really by and large, not noteworthy.
Right.
And we comment on the ones that are noteworthy. Mm-hmm. Like, I am absolutely madly in love with the new Moon Knight.
Right.
And I think I've said that on
the
Eternals
podcast. Also.
And I love the Eternals. The new Eternal stuff is great.
And we all know that Mr. Fantastic thought that 1602, very disappointing.
Yeah.
Let's not rehash that old gag. Unless he's got something new, which I know he doesn't. And he can't because the jingle's not done yet.
No, I read V for Vendetta.
Oh, there you go.
I read it.
Well, that's DC.
I don't read it.
That's okay. You read it. It's okay. Good.
That's how I
Baby
roll.
Baby steps.
That's how I roll.
Yeah, I read like
is it
one trade per month and then...
Hey, that's better than some.
I also go in the comic shop and read the books that are on the shelf and don't buy them.
Nice. They hate you.
Good.
I'm that bastard.
You are that bastard.
You're that guy ruining the books.
So, yeah.
But to kind of bring a wrap to it, if you're getting that impression... Like I said, it's not that we're not reading them. It's that they're not worth commenting on, by right. and large. And particularly Marvel.
Right.
Marvel is, I mean, DC is really starting to catch up, though, with this whole crisis thing and that madness. But by and large, Marvel, there's no continuity anymore. There are no two books that really can be strung together with any sort of cohesive continuity. The Marvel Universe, as we know it, is slowly being destroyed by Joe Quesada. They're trying to create some sort of continuity in the Ultimate Verse, but that's not working out really well either. It's just a slippery slope, and they're on it. And as long as Joe Quesada remains at the head of that, this is what's going to happen with these books. And they're not worth commenting on. So I'm reading them kind of out of habit, and that's kind of it. I mean, okay. I'm not really getting a lot of enjoyment out of Marvel Comics these days with the few shining examples.
So again, if you have... comments or opinions about our opinions, we do encourage you to let us know about them. We will address them and we will talk about them. And I guess that's it.
Matt, is there a better online resource for action figure news and information than action-figure.com?
No. Actionfigure.com is the premier website.
Slow down. It's action-figure.com, Matt.
I'm sorry, action-figure.com is the premier website for all your toy news, reviews, photos, and it's updated daily.
They have a great staff over there. They're great writers. They know what they're talking about. They answer questions that you want to have answered.
You aren't going to find a better source for action figure information on the web.
That's right. So point your internet browser to www.action-figure.com and go there today.
So, Blackout.
Right.
Nice tune. Sure is. And we're back now from our area blackout.
Right.
Back to finish, or continue, I should say.
Continue.
With episode 15, the one about girls.
Right. This one's kind of about a girl. Well, I guess.
Dead one?
Wow, that ain't right, but yeah. So, in case you haven't heard, if you play World of Warcraft, you certainly have heard, but in case you haven't, there was a woman who was a World of Warcraft player that passed away in real life, and in homage to her passing away, a bunch of her friends logged her character on to the game to host a funeral for her in-game.
Did they actually log her on to do that?
They did. They logged her on, and someone actually took control of her character and brought her to the area where they were going to do this funeral memorial service for her in-game. They brought her character to an area in the game that she was particularly fond of.
Mm-hmm. Known as the Kill Zone.
Well, World of Warcraft, for those of you that don't know, is a massive multiplayer online role-playing game that includes a lot of player-versus-player combat, in which, aside from just fighting the NPCs that the computer generates, you also have the ability to battle other characters played by other people around the world.
In PvP-designated areas.
Correct. This particular area that the character was fond of, and the character's name was Fei Jin, I believe it was.
Fei Jin?
Yeah. Was...
How are we spelling Fei Jin?
F-A-Y-E-J-I-N.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the place was called Winterspring.
Winterspring, right, which was a favorite area for this particular character. And so it was a PvP area. So there was a lot of player versus player combat that goes on there. These people logged her character on and lined up by the dozen to have an in-game memorial / funeral for her. These are the people that had made friends with her in-game.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. But that's not the story. The story is that during this funeral / memorial, another group of players who were...
known as Serenity Now.
Right, which is it was a guild in the game that was, I guess, in some sort of battle with this guild that Fei Jin was part of and her group was part of. The Horde and the Alliance is what they are in the game. Planned an attack on the memorial. Ton of players.
Wait. Are you saying that in this game... these people lined up to pay homage to the character of a dead woman.
Correct.
In a player versus player combat area.
Correct.
And another group decided to attack them during the memorial?
Yes.
That is fucking awesome.
Now, the people at the memorial were there. They were unarmed, no armor. Most of them were there just to do this memorial ceremony.
Oh, sure,
ceremony. They're
probably
dressed. In their funeral clothes.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say, in their funeral best, I'm sure.
Right. And this other group came in and decimated them. For those of you that are interested, you can go to YouTube, www.youtube.com, and do a search on World of Warcraft funeral or Fei Jin funeral or one of several things, and you can find this video. There's probably about 3 or 4 versions of it up there with different songs and stuff that people have edited in over it. But, I mean, the songs are kind of gitchy, but really what you want to see is how it happens.
Is tons of characters
and it's dumb enough to be
in a player versus player area
being
slaughtered.
And I have to say that whoever it is that put this video together did a really great job, because it starts off and it's a shot of the funeral scene. It's all these people lined up. And then it's a shot of the other group of people just running in, and then it goes back to the funeral scene and back to the people running in and back to the funeral scene, back and forth until pretty much you see them crest the horizon and come down on the funeral and just wreak havoc.
Wow.
And just slaughter everybody.
I have got to see this video immediately.
So, this has brought up a question of morality.
Why?
Well, because a lot of the people that were at the funeral, and a lot of people that weren't at the funeral but that had heard about the story, because this was talked about on the news and it was in a couple newspapers. I mean, it was really a big story. A lot of people feel that the players who did the slaughtering,
the Serenity Now people,
right, okay, were kind of being dicks, I guess you could say.
Very
and
bad people.
And we're not being respectful of what was going on. Now, the people from Serenity Now said, while we understand that you feel that way, we're playing a game and we're playing characters in a game. And in the context of the game, this is something that our characters would do. They were against, you know, there was a war against this other group, and they had themselves unarmed in a player versus player area, and
it's a game.
We took advantage of it. Right.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
So
why is it ridiculous?
Yeah.
What do you not think this is ridiculous?
Ridiculous that people are complaining? Or
yeah, ridiculous that people are complaining. If you're playing a game, if you're committed to playing one of these games, mm-hmm. Matthew and I were both, for a time, me longer than him, committed to playing Star Wars Galaxies.
Correct.
And we knew that if you turned yourself on, you know, if you came, you know, if you declared a side like Rebel or Imperial, right. and you went covert, meaning that everyone knew if you were Rebel or an Imperial, and
you were an out-of-the-closet Rebel.
Yeah, if you were an Imperial and you ran across a whole bunch of Rebels, your ass was getting toasted.
Right.
Now, I don't care if you're... I don't... With all due respect to the dead lady, I don't care whether these people felt so attached to this person's character that they had to have a little funeral service. That's all well and good. And, oh, it's nice because it's in an area she liked. However, they have no right to bitch and moan that other people playing the game decided to take advantage of this. Because with all due respect, if I was in the situation, number one, I certainly would have went in there with armor and weapons into a player versus player area. Because right. I'm not stupid.
Right.
And number two, if I had been on the other side of that, you can bet your sweet bippy I'd have been slaughtering those stupid assholes myself.
But let me say this. Do not we all as human beings have a responsibility to be nice?
Yes, we do.
Nice?
We do, Mark. We have a responsibility to be nice in this world.
Well, I think what's being said is these people are being called insensitive, right? They're saying that the people that played these characters are insensitive and... they're mean. And
well, I think
to a certain degree, wait, I agree with that. Only because from my experience playing these games, dickhead in the game normally translates to dickhead in real life.
So here's what I'm saying. I think you all are addressing the wrong group of people here.
Okay.
The group of people you should be addressed, you should not be saying that these guys that came over the mountain and slaughtered these poor little defenseless lambs should be condemned for their actions. What it is that the other stupid people who went into a PvP area without armor and weapons should have known better. This is a game. This
sure.
is a virtual, with all, you know, with yeah. all kitsch aside, it's a virtual reality. And they're playing a character in a game. That's great. You want to pay homage to this dead woman's character or whatever. I mean, I can understand that on a gameplay aspect of the thing. I had friends die in Star Wars Galaxies, whose characters died in Star Wars Galaxies. Hell, Matt, we each died 1,000 times together, didn't we?
We sure did.
We had guys that were friends of ours that left the game, and we considered those characters dead
right.
as part of playing the game. But, you know, I would never then... As an Imperial player, go to a Rebel base that my friend really liked to say goodbye to him.
Well, I think the problem
where I could be rendered asunder, if you will.
I think the problem here is, and I agree with you for the most part, but I think the problem or why it's being called into question is because this is a woman who died in real life, not while playing the game, mind you. She suffered a stroke and she passed away. In real life. And I think that what people are saying is that it's disrespectful to her, the player, and to her family to do this
no.
to her character
no.
in the game.
No. And you know what? Again.
I could see where they would make the argument.
No
Again,
way.
I don't know that I would do it.
First of all.
But I could see where they would make the argument.
First of all, if this woman's family
mm-hmm.
thought that a fitting... way for them to honor their dead relative
was for them to turn on the relative's character in order for them to have a fake little memorial in cyberspace. Well, I mean, that's what I call into question. Okay. It's a game.
But this game, you know, but this article.
Listen. When I play chess and the bishop dies, I don't bring all the pawns around the bishop because he's dead. Well, we got to have a little service because the bishop. It's a game.
But I think what they're saying is, or I think the point is that these games are becoming so popular, right? And there are so many different versions of them.
Irrelevant.
There's so many people that play that people form some sort of genuine friendships online in these games. And for someone who might be on a different part of the world or a different part of the country, they can't necessarily pay respects to the real person. So this is how they're paying respects to the person, to their character. And so these people that are attacking that character and these other people are being insensitive.
I'll tell you who I would have been in that group coming over the hill to slaughter the
leader.
I'd have killed the character. I'd have went right after
her.
Well,
someone did. Actually, a couple people did and killed her.
Good.
So
I'd have been that person too.
I mean,
what if these people showed up at the real funeral?
Well, if they showed up at the real funeral and started killing people, that'd just be silly.
Let dummy get his joke out. Go ahead. Which one is going to do it?
It's not me, is it?
Go ahead. This is our pal Lucky is sitting in tonight. Go ahead, Lucky, with your comment. If you could stop laughing for 2 seconds.
It's not like they showed up at her real funeral to slaughter anybody. It's a cyber game.
Exactly.
It's not like it's wrong.
I know.
It would be wrong if they showed up at her real funeral and said, hey, let's axe everybody. No, they didn't.
Right.
So that's okay. So that real funeral went on was proper.
Sure.
The cyber one, hey.
Hey.
Anything goes.
Hey, that's right. Not only does anything go, but more importantly, they were in an area where they could get killed. And it's clearly, I mean, as far as my understanding of the game goes, you understand that when you step into this area, regardless of what funeral you're attending or flowers you're picking or other... with all due respect, stupid ass things that you might do in one of these games in this area. If somebody comes along and they decide they want to try to kick your ass, that's your ass.
Okay. Well, look, I mean, I like I said, I'm kind of torn. I don't know how I feel entirely. I don't think if I was in the game, I would have been one of the people to attack the funeral, but I don't think I'd have a problem with it necessarily either.
But would you have attended the funeral?
Maybe, but I would have attended wearing armor and holding a sword.
Oh, no, because no one was wearing armor and a sword, man.
Well, then I wouldn't have attended.
Well, think of it this way.
Good, because had you said yes, I would have come across this microphone table at you.
Who remembers the funeral without the war, you know? Would it be talked about right now if no one attacked?
Sure.
No.
Exactly. It just would have been another in-game event, and it would have just died.
You got to stop with this stupid transferring of your virtual lives that you play into your real life. You know what? If you go online and you play these games and you make friends in other states and you fly out and visit them and you get married and all that sort of stuff, that's all well and good. But don't piss on me for playing the game the way that the game is laid out.
No, I agree.
And I would have slaughtered. I'd have stand there. I don't know how the graphics go, but I would have been head to toe in blood of those stupid people who went into the player versus player area with no weapons and fancy clothes.
No, you know,
I would have looked like you
would have macroed a bot to do it for you and walked away for 3 hours.
Well, that's true. I may have done that. I would have, without question, I would have looked like Mel Gibson at the end of the Battle of Falkirk in fucking Braveheart.
Just as handsome.
Well, if you want, you should go to YouTube and check this video out yourself. We'll put a link to it up on the website so you can check it out from there if you can't find it. And, you know, watch it and let us know what you think.
I think it's completely and utterly ridiculous that this is even being discussed outside of the realm of that game. I cannot believe that this made the news or The Wire or anything else. I can't wait to go on YouTube and get the video and giggle myself to sleep thinking about it.
It's good.
I can't wait.
Rock and roll. Showtime.
Matt, on July 29th, from 10 to 6,
The Ducrete School of Art is hosting Comics Sci-Fi Fantasy Day.
That's right. Your free admission to this show includes drawing lessons, portfolio reviews, tons of vendors, lots of comics and toys.
In addition to that, you can meet their guest artists who include Mark Romanowski from Magic the Gathering, DC Comics, and Warcraft, William O'Connor, also from Magic the Gathering and Star Wars, and Tommy Castillo, who has worked on George Romero books and Batman.
That's right. This show's going to be at the Ducrete School of Art, located at 1030 Central Avenue in Plainfield, New Jersey, 07060. And you can go to www.ducrete.edu for more information.
I sure hope we're saying the name of the school right. Is it Ducrete?
If not, it's ducrete.edu.
That goes totally with this segment.
Okay.
We are now talking about girls or female comic book characters as they appear in film. And this is actually springboarding from us from an absolutely awful piece of crap documentary that's right. appearing on cable now called Comic Books on Film. It was on Stars recently. You might be able to
find it still.
Yeah, on demand or something.
They might even replay it. Stars replay stuff.
Well,
so.
To death. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was part of their whole. They had this whole when comic books attack or heroes right. attack or something. And they played a slew of these movies.
Right. Right.
That have come out in the more recent years and a couple of choice older ones as well. And I decided to watch this documentary called Comic Books on Film.
Okay.
And it's awful.
Right. Well, I've only seen one segment of it.
It's so bad that we're actually going to, for today's episode, obviously, episode 15, the one about girls.
Right.
Is that what I said it was before?
Yes.
The one about girls? Episode 15, the one about girls, we're going to use the segment that they're calling... I believe they're calling it female comic book characters.
Right.
And I love the fact that they open with clips of Catwoman.
Well.
Arguably the worst female comic book film since Elektra. But really, probably the worst one ever.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to play some of that audio. The audio from the segment, and it's you just have to see how absolutely awful it is.
It is pretty bad.
So let's play some of it, and then we'll stop if we have comments to make.
Female comic book characters have had mixed successes at the box office.
Okay, so right out of the gate, the narrator is Frank Oz's gay cousin.
Right.
Female comic book characters have had limited success at movies. What the hell?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to bash the guy's voice. I mean, it is awful, but...
And they do, and as a matter of coincidence, they do follow up the Catwoman clips with Elektra.
Right.
The Hollywood Reporter examines why it's hard to be a woman in a superhero's world.
They go right... Now, wait right there, wait. They go right from... Elektra clips into Aeon Flux.
Right.
She's a superhero?
No.
That's all you're going to say?
I'm going to save it because I know it's getting there. So for right now, no. She's not a superhero.
All right, let's. There's the expert. Now they brought in the Hollywood Reporter expert.
The big challenge that Hollywood has discovered in trying to make movies out of comic books that feature female superheroes.
All right, wait. Who the heck is this clown? We have Greg Kilday, who is the film editor for the Hollywood Reporter. And from the sound of his voice, I don't imagine he would enjoy females in any situation, is all I'm saying.
Wow.
Certainly not. I can see what his problem would be with superhero female movies.
Well, we'll have to see what else he has to say.
Superheroes.
Sounds like the alien from American Dad.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
Pretty sure I said pecan sandies.
All right, let's hear more of Mr. Killjoy.
Is that female action heroes have never had much success on the big screen.
Why is he mixing the two genres?
Well, I think in talking about female superheroes, he's drawing the correlation between female action heroes, which one could argue they are similar, I would think. And
they're totally different.
Well, I disagree.
Why do you disagree?
Because I think a superhero is an action hero. So if you're going to talk about superheroes and you need to compare them to something else, because there's not a lot of female superhero movies, then if you have to compare it to something else, then a female action hero would be the closest comparison that you can have.
But this is called comic books on film. Shouldn't you not exhaust every female superhero before you start bringing in? I mean, let's see. Look at the first film that he points at.
If you go back to Alien at the end of the 70s, Sigourney Weaver had a big hit with that sci-fi movie in which he battled aliens in outer space. That almost became the gold star that Hollywood has been chasing ever since, as it's tried to find female action heroes, some of them superheroes, that would appeal to a mass audience.
That's not even true right from the get-go. That's not even true. First of all, it's not a superhero film. Second of all, it was only one alien, not multiple aliens. Has this guy ever seen this movie?
I don't know.
Battle? She ran away from him the whole time.
She kind of fought him, I guess.
At the end?
She battled him then. Doesn't matter where she
battled
him. All
right, but let's bounce back.
This
is called Comic Books on Film. So should you not, before going to Sigourney Weaver in Alien, as an example of this genre, should you not have exhausted every other superhero movie before you get to this?
Again, I think he's drawing a correlation between superheroes and action heroes, and he's looking for something that was successful, and Alien was successful, so that's where he's
not a
he's
superhero movie. This is called Comic Books on Film. Alien has no place in this discussion. At the very least, he should have exhausted all female superhero films before going to a film that is not part of the genre. This is not a female superhero film, which is what the purpose of this whole special is, to talk about comic books on film.
But he's saying that superheroes are action heroes, and then he's saying that female action heroes, which would encompass superheroes, have never been successful for the most part. And then he goes to something that was successful, and he goes to Alien. Now, again, I don't know that I would consider Alien an action movie. I mean, that's a whole nother problem, first of all. And second of all, I don't know that it was a successful action movie because of Sigourney Weaver's role in the film. I think just overall it was a good sci-fi movie.
I cannot believe the two of you. You're both together on this.
I haven't even said anything yet.
But I can see that you're chomping at the bit to agree with him. Go ahead.
What? I got nothing.
Exactly. Lucky?
I'm with you, Kev, on this one. I mean, it says great on the
smart
screen,
move.
Comic books on film. Not sci-fi on film.
Not female action heroes on film.
Again, but I think the argument that we're having is whether or not a superhero can be considered an action hero. I think that they can.
But
so
that's
I think
not
when
what
talking
about.
I understand that, but when talking about superheroes, you can draw a comparison to other action heroes.
We haven't even gotten to this guy's
point, however. The point is that these films are unsuccessful because the core audience, teenage males...
Whoa.
No, let's not get ahead. You can't talk about this without talking about that, because his
point... No, he's making the point right here that this is an example of a successful movie in this genre. But this is not the genre that he's supposed to be talking about.
He said in the genre of action films.
Why is he talking about action films?
Well, he's clearly confused on what a superhero film is. Exactly. However, I'm telling you that this does not negate his eventual point that he's trying to make.
Let's get to
and that they
point.
Fail because...
Right. Let's continue with his awful analogy.
And repeatedly, Hollywood has struck out when they've tried to do that.
Things change.
Probably the best example is that of Catwoman. When she was embodied by Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman Returns in 1992, that movie was a big hit. But then more recently, Warner Brothers Pictures, which oversees the Batman franchise, developed a standalone Catwoman movie starring Halle Berry. Halle Berry was just coming off an Oscar win. She certainly was a big star, but the movie was a major disappointment and really just went nowhere at the box office.
Let's pause it right there. That had nothing to do with, well, I mean, maybe it had something to do with the fact that Halle Berry's just not very good, Oscar or no Oscar. But that had nothing to do with her bankability as an action star or anything else. That had to do with the fact that that movie sucked.
I have a feeling that they asked this guy these questions and interviewed him, maybe not giving him the full qualifications of what this documentary-style thing is supposed to be. Because he answered in the general sense why female action heroes fail. He didn't say anything about why the superhero,
right,
specifically the superhero genre in itself, failed.
So the failure is on the producer and director's part.
I think so.
So this guy was waylaid into this.
I don't know if he's waylaid. They probably said, hey, here's a chance to be on Stars. We'll ask you a couple questions about something you dig, and then that's where he went with it.
I think one of the biggest problems maybe is the name of the segment, because I think that I don't necessarily disagree with some of the correlations that he's drawing, but maybe not for this particular segment. I think maybe that's the problem.
Sure, if it was called Female Action Heroes on Film, I wouldn't have a problem with it either.
Right. Again, though, because I think... personally, I think that you could put superheroes, or that you should put superheroes, in the action film category.
But I agree. But they are very specific about what they're talking about, albeit shoddily in the rest of this documentary. But they're very specifically talking about comic book characters.
If I were you, I wouldn't get so hung up on just the name, because the point that this guy makes, or at least that he's trying to make and eventually gets to, is why they fail.
All right, let's move on.
You're a fake.
One theory that's always thrown out is that the audience that is most devoted to comic book movies, teenage boys, are threatened by strong female action heroes. Now, certainly there have been exceptions like Sigourney Weaver in the first Alien movie, Angelina Jolie in the first Tomb Raider movie.
All right, that's a load of shit.
The double reference is terrible, too.
That's a load of shit.
Don't get too ahead.
Because first of all, movies like Elektra were driven by young teenage boys going to see it. Any money that it made was from that audience looking to see Jennifer Garner in a tight red leather corset. That's first of all. And second of all, they're comparing it to something like Alien, which was rated R and which was not viewed by modern day 13-year-old boys in the box office. That's just an awful correlation altogether.
Very good point.
I think that it's completely irresponsible for him to say that. And again, I don't think your core audience has anything to do with this. I think because the movie sucked, that's why it didn't make any money, because no one went to see it. No one went to see it because it sucked.
It's irresponsible for this guy to say that about movies, but it wasn't morally reprehensible for other people to storm a funeral.
Nope.
For a dead woman who
that's
had a stroke.
Right. Try to stay on.
You warped bastard.
Try to stay on topic.
But you know what,
stupid.
Though? I think the part of the problem is, and you're saying that it was bad because it sucked, or the writing sucked, or the movie itself sucked.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think maybe one of the points is that in general, it's harder to write a movie or to produce a movie or to make a movie about a strong female lead superhero and or action hero and have it be successful in general. I mean, I just, I, you know, I don't think that you're going to ever have a huge success in that area. I just think it's harder to make that type of movie.
Is there any movie out there featuring a female action-oriented lead that has, I want to say this the right way, but your buy-in, that you're behind? Because there isn't one that exists out there that I'm like...
No, they all end up being fluff action films. They all end up being check your brain at the door, sit back and watch some cleavage films for the
absolutely
most part.
Absolutely not.
Which one is it?
As a superhero film or as an action film?
You can throw whatever you want out there and I'll entertain it.
See, but that's the problem. The problem is that you will entertain it. And the problem is that we are and they
okay, are. Okay, as a superhero film.
No, I can't think of one.
Okay, as an action film.
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Underworld.
Okay.
Kate Beckinsale and Underworld Evolution. For
is
that
it
matter.
Underworld? Is it Underworld as a film that you like, or is it her character that's in there?
All of it.
You think so?
I think it's well done from start to finish, both films.
But more often, when women like Halle Berry or Charlize Theron have taken on kind of action roles, superhero roles, that core fanboy audience, you know, they might have downloaded their pictures from the web and put them on their walls, but they haven't turned out for the movie.
Fanboy.
That's more garbage right there, too.
Okay.
His whole thing is that he wants there to be some sort of correlation between the genre of the film and the lack of audience, rather than saying that the majority of these movies are garbage.
I think that you're right. That's the point he's trying to make. I guess, yes, I think that the majority are garbage, and I think his analysis is weak in that if you're going to go ahead and start mentioning action movies with a female lead, the first one that comes to mind to me is Kill Bill.
Yeah, which they don't mention.
Well,
Underworld,
I feel that this guy,
mention.
Not that he hasn't done his homework, because I'm sure that he, you know, read Wizard or something before he was on this show.
Yeah, well.
Which is probably the extent of it, but I just don't think he's up to snuff to be on here, and that's
absolutely.
It.
And to not have the chops, as I've been trying to say the whole time we've been doing this, to not have the chops to talk about specifically comic book characters on film, the name of the documentary, that he should not have been talking about anything at all. This was a very focused, again, albeit lousy, documentary about comic book characters on film. And if you can't stay within the boundaries of that topic, then you shouldn't be talking about it in a documentary.
It's called Comic Books on Film. The guy doesn't talk to the topic. He tries to make a point in it. You're trying to invalidate his point by just underscoring the topic itself.
I'm invalidating his participation because he decided that he's lumping superhero, female superhero movies and female action movies all into one group, and that is not what this documentary is about.
Do you agree, however, that
here's Chewbacca,
the core
that
audience,
doesn't make any sense,
that the core audience, well, like what he says is the core audience, teenage
thank you
boys, fanboys are threatened by strong female characters?
No, I think maybe teenage fanboys would, I don't know, like to see a good movie. And I think that the fact that he glosses over the fact that he's like, well, Halle Berry, and she was very big, and she has she just came off the Oscar, and blah, blah, blah. Her performance was terrible in a movie that sucked, and that's why no one went to see it. And she looked awful. That's why nobody went to see it.
I'm not going
to
argue with you there. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. And it's the same thing with the next one
Elektra
that he talked about? Elektra. It was the same thing with Elektra. Look, I'd love to see Jennifer Garner jumping around. I'll put in Daredevil right now and watch it. But but Elektra was terrible. And nobody went to see it because it was terrible, because it got slaughtered in
You'll
the reviews.
You'll watch Daredevil?
Yeah.
I like Daredevil.
What other hot chicks we got dressed in leather jumping around on screen?
Well, let's see. Let's see what he says. It looks like they're going into Daredevil here, so let's see what he says about that.
Remember me?
You can see the same phenomenon taking place in the two movies, Daredevil and Elektra. In the first movie, Daredevil, Ben Affleck starred opposite Jennifer Garner, who played the character of Elektra, a character out of the Marvel Comics stable. That movie did decent business. It did over $100 million. It wasn't a blockbuster by comic book adaptation standards, but it did the job. It got in an audience.
Her name's Elektra.
20th Century Fox, figuring they might have a franchise character in Elektra, decided to give her a movie of her own. 2005, Jennifer Garner returned to the screen as the star of Elektra, and that movie just did no business. It opened to about $14 million and ultimately did about $30 million domestically. There just wasn't an audience there for it.
No, that is not the problem with Elektra, that there wasn't an audience. There certainly was. It's the same audience that's going to see all these superhero movies. The audience was there. The movie was terrible. You know what? If Superman was terrible, nobody will go see Superman. If Superman got panned in the reviews and got half a star, it would not be such a big deal and not a lot. I'm not saying nobody would go see it. Obviously, iconic character Superman versus not so iconic character Elektra. You have to take into account the fact that Elektra is not a major character in the Marvel Universe. She is a minor character. I mean, maybe slightly higher than minor character. I mean, she had a lot of important things to do in the Marvel Universe. She died, and she wasn't dead, much like the film. And she was an integral part of the Daredevil story, both in the comics and the film. Integral. She is not an A-list. She is not an A-list character. In fact, I defy you to think of an A-list female superhero character that's been made a film of that was even remotely successful.
What you're saying is completely true, and there's no way to argue because it's just something that's true. I mean, the numbers don't lie. That's no? What do you got? Yeah, it's true. So nobody can argue, but let me ask you, what is it about female lead movies led by females, that makes them destined to fail? Put yourself in that guy's shoes, and what's the answer? Because, I mean, that's his conjecture, and I honestly think it fails.
Superhero films, or are we talking about action films starring female characters?
Let's talk about Catwoman and Elektra. At that point, if we
I'll
get to
you,
that,
I think
we agree. I don't agree with your whole...
I have an answer.
I know. Shut up. I don't agree with this guy's... Your criticism of this guy. I believe that he's not qualified, but what's your answer?
My answer is that there are very few A-list female superhero characters. There are very few. Name one. Wonder Woman. Name another one.
I don't think it's the character itself.
No, it is.
Why do people read Elektra the comic book? Is it about Elektra the comic book that makes it...
She was hot and she swung swords.
Was it not the story?
No.
It was not the story.
Well, in some cases it was the story, yeah.
I believe so.
Okay.
So the moral is, if you make a good movie with a good story...
Did you read it?
I know that much.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying. Look, I believe so. You're the one who might have to tell me.
Exactly. So you might want to yield to my expertise in that area
when you just said yes to that.
Yeah, I said yes, that story is obviously a part of the picture. But what you won't let me answer the question.
Go ahead.
The answer to your question is there are no A-list female superhero characters. There's Wonder Woman that I can think of. There's Supergirl, which there was a movie made of. An awful movie that also flopped in the 80s.
And for the most
starring part, Helen somebody.
For the most part, almost Hunt? All of the Marvel...
No, it wasn't Helen Hunt. Who was it? Helen Slater.
For the most part, all of the Marvel strong female characters are part of
teams.
You got the Invisible Woman. You've got Jean Grey. You've got Rogue, who would be another X-Men character, but a strong female lead.
In the comics.
Dazzler, whose book was... pretty awful
Whoa,
by itself,
stop
but...
it. You said strong. Let's not bring Dazzler
Well,
into
I'm
it.
Talking about... I'm just talking about Marvel female characters that have had some sort of presence. Dazzler had a presence, I mean, you know, a while ago. But
the disco ball earrings and
yeah,
roller skates?
Sure.
That's the point.
So is there
Fantastic.
A good... In your mind, is there a good...
No.
...superhero
no.
female movie?
No. And there can't be.
Because well, maybe Wonder Woman.
Well, maybe Wonder Woman is the only one that has a shot... of being that level of film that is separate from these other examples that are being given, at least the comic book examples.
So now let's do me this favor.
Uh-huh.
Expand your mind into the realm of all action movies.
Okay.
I know this is not what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What makes, do they fail, female lead action movies,
mm-hmm.
do they fail as a rule?
No.
I think a majority of them do. I think very few of them stand out. I think the ones that do stand out are normally well directed and the storylines are very solid.
Right there is the answer.
I think that the ones that fail, I think the ones that fail normally rely too much on who it is that's playing the lead female, whether or not she's qualified to act or not.
Give an example.
Based on her looks. Blood Rain.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay, right? She looked hot in the outfit, right? Mm-hmm. But the movie was atrocious. I mean, one can even argue to a certain extent that, again, a Jennifer Garner looked great in the outfit, but the movie was atrocious, right? So right. I think a lot of times they're relying too much on how the female looks and they're relying too much on sex to sell the movie. And sex might bring the initial audience into the seats, but it doesn't sell the follow-through.
Right.
I mean, not unless there's some explicit, atrocious sex scene in there somewhere.
And again, to bring this back on point, fantastic. This is a discussion about comic book characters on film. If we're going to expand out into action films, then we should have titled it, "We're going to expand out into action films."
But you've already proven that this was not just about comic books on film, as the title says right there.
Right.
I agree. It did not turn into that. It wasn't that when you press play.
The point is that is what we are here to discuss.
How can we discuss that over an hour-long feature on Starz?
It's a half an hour, first of all. That isn't segment about that. We just watched is 4 minutes
So
long.
You would have preferred that they broadcast a half hour of blackness?
No, I would have preferred that they didn't waste time. But we're going to get into that more in upcoming episodes. We're going to tackle some of the other topics that they discussed in this documentary and how what the perception that a documentary like this gives our people, if you will, is the reason that stereotypes exist.
Well,
it's the reason that criticism and stereotypes and all manner of negative press comes our way because of documentaries like these. Are the documentaries that people are watching in between two films, and they say, you know, I really don't know a lot about that whole comic book thing and how, what the interest in the comic books are, and I'm going to watch this because this is a documentary full of facts that will tell me why it is comic books are so popular to be turned into movies and so forth.
But is it not the movies themselves that those same people are going to see? And those movies are hugely successful,
yeah, but
especially
you know
the latest batch of Marvel films,
uh-huh.
No matter how bad or how good they they are critically.
Uh-huh.
It's those movies that do it.
Okay. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is it's this kind of filmmaking, this kind of documentary that casts all the negative stereotypes. This is what creates it.
You should write a letter.
For what? Don't make documentaries anymore, sir. Why? They're still going to do it. It's the same perception. This is the perception. This kind of wrong, awful reporting is the exact kind of perception that creates negative stereotypes.
Okay.
Lucky, what do you got?
I have to agree with you on this one, Kev. I mean,
smart man.
If I turn this on thinking I was going to see all about comics and started looking into it, and I knew nothing about comics at all, I might think that, you know, oh, Alien was a comic book? Oh, okay, you know.
Exactly. And we're only scratching the surface here using the female, because episode 15, the one about girls, that is the only reason that we are using this particular chunk of this documentary. We are going to, next week, episode 16, we are definitely going to talk about at least one, possibly two other segments of this documentary, because it is grossly negligent reporting.
This is goes back to my analogy before. If I open a Hustler, I expect to see a certain thing. I don't expect to see the man junk. I expect to see you know what.
Right.
Exactly. Well put. And the other way, just to make this point, the other way that they feel that they can use female superheroes is in a comedic way.
Okay.
You know, for example, the mom in The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have one coming up with Uma Thurman called My Super Ex-Girlfriend, which is...
It's going to be a great movie.
No, it's not. It's going to be a piece of shit.
Don Payne, who is the writer of this film, says that Fox was really paranoid about it being perceived as a straight female action superhero movie, which has been the death at the box office for movies like Aeon Flux and Catwoman.
But it's not that. It's a romantic comedy with a lead female that happens to be a superhero.
It seems goofball.
I mean, if anybody has seen the trailer, serious. That's what it is. It's a romantic comedy. It's about these two people coming together and falling in love and working through the challenges of the movie. It just so happens the challenges this time isn't a sister or, you know, somebody dying or some stupid shit. It's she has superpowers and she could throw them through a bookcase.
Right, but you know what? It's not a serious film about a superhero female and the trials and tribulations of trying to live a normal life in a relationship.
All.
No, it has to be handled through comedy because that is the only way that such a film could be taken seriously. Could that a studio would greenlight such a movie is to have some other preface, and the preface here being comedy. It couldn't possibly be done in a serious fashion because that would be seen as a straight superhero female movie, just like Payne said.
Right.
And that's why their hesitation came. But wait, it's Ivan Reitman. Ivan Reitman comedy, folks. Chuckle, chuckle.
Ha ha.
That's how we can do it. That's how we can tell this female superhero story because it's a ha ha and we can't possibly do it seriously because that won't work.
Well, then I think the onus is back on the comic book companies to create strong, powerful female, solo female characters
sure.
that a good, solid movie can be based on.
I absolutely agree. Now, it'll never happen.
Are they basing this comedy superhero woman off of a actual comic?
No.
I don't
think
so.
It's an original story.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference also is that this is a superhero that's not actually in the comics.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, but there have been those also that have just been created for film that were awful. I point to Sky High.
Well,
I mean,
I didn't entirely hate Sky High.
Well, I wanted to love that movie, but it was just terrible. And guess what? Entirely superhero genre, a bit of comedy thrown in,
mm-hmm.
a lot of comedy thrown in. But again, they could not have possibly made with the amount of presence of female heroes in that story, could not possibly have made that a serious picture.
But again, that's a group dynamic. I think the group dynamic completely changes it. Even back to this documentary
true.
That we talked about, when they were talking about success and failures, they were talking about Catwoman being in Batman Returns, and that was successful. But then Catwoman by itself, failure.
See?
They were talking about Elektra in Daredevil,
right.
and that being somewhat successful. But then Elektra by itself, failure.
It's a shame because those are the two worst examples.
They're the two most... They're the two most recent examples.
Right.
So that's why they're
why
out
they
there.
Are the worst examples, though, is because you're talking about two different levels of quality. On the one hand, you're talking about a Tim Burton directed Batman film
right.
that featured Catwoman as one of the villains.
Right.
Starring Michelle Pfeiffer, who is a great performer, doing a fantastic job in the role, versus casting that hack Halle Berry. In a what could only be called a reimagining of the character, dressed in an awful costume, giving an awful performance in an awfully written and directed movie. Elektra appeared in Daredevil, a great, in my opinion, a great superhero movie.
I liked it.
And she was very good in that movie because that movie had solid writing, solid direction,
mm-hmm.
and that's great. Put Elektra in her own movie, which is poorly written and poorly directed, and the movie fails. So is it because it's just Elektra, or is it because it's a piece of shit film? I gotta go with piece of shit film.
I think somewhere along the line in developing that movie, though, they lose focus on the fact that there ever was a strong story there, and it just becomes about building that character as if you were to sit down. It's like before you play D&D, you make your character and you put all the story into it and you make it look like as cool as you can, and then it just doesn't pan out. It's like that. They're trying, but it's not strong.
Or he dies in the first day.
Or he dies in the first in the first encounter or whatever. It's right. It's like that. Like it just wasn't.
This is
it's
the
all
most
about
brilliant
how
character I've ever created, and he's dead.
Right.
I think the only chance the female superhero genre has of ever poking its head out of the ground and even looking toward the direction of success
is
Wonder Woman. And that's going to entirely depend on Josh Whedon's direction and writing. Mm-hmm. He's writing it also.
Can it be bad?
It's going to, yes. Oh, it can be bad.
It has the potential to be. I mean, look, I think Josh Whedon's brilliant, but it has the potential to be stinking like shit.
Wonder Woman, at this point, at right now, it's got a lot going for it.
Sure.
It's got Josh Whedon, who did how many years?
Of Buffy?
With a strong female character.
Sure.
Strong female character. How many years? How many seasons
of
Buffy? 7 seasons. 7 years of TV writing of a strong female, of a couple strong female characters.
Who's
right?
Almost kind of like a superhero.
He's a great writer. He's a good director. Probably maybe a little bit better than good. I point out Serenity and Firefly.
Yes.
Great, great Josh Whedon stuff.
Good stuff.
So that already, Wonder Woman has a lot going for it. It now also has the fact that Batman Begins and Superman Returns are humongous films. And as part of the holy triumvirate of DC, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, it has the built-in support to be a success. And what it's now boiling down to is casting. If they don't get the right person in that role, it's gonna fail.
Well, we're gonna have to wait and see where it goes.
Hey there, you sexy geek. Don't miss a single episode of Geek Stuff. Available every Monday at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You know you want it. Let's get it on.
So hot.
Okay, so today,
so
during something
studio.
New.
God, it's hot.
Today during something new,
something
we talked
hot.
About, yeah, something hot, something asshole, something new. We talked about Tonner's DC Stars program, which is coming out sometime next year. It's a series of collectible figures, probably in that 16-inch scale, that's going to include characters like Supergirl and Wonder Woman, at least in the first wave.
Let's not forget Harley Quinn.
I'm getting there. Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, Catwoman, and Hawk Girl in a later wave.
Wow.
And then there's also the plans to do a Superman and Lois Lane and a Batman and Batgirl. From there, we went directly into J.K. Rowling making the announcement this week that she was going to kill off two characters in the next book. And who maybe we thought they were and what'll happen. I personally think that it's potentially Harry as one of them, but we'll see what happens.
I hope it's that dirty mudblood Hermione.
Do you?
No.
I know. What did you have?
I brought to our attention today a little comic book called Love and Capes. Another one of these books that we've been saying that you might want to read with your significant other as a way to bridge between your love of comic books and their disgust at dating you and you reading them.
Right. Although I have successfully gotten my fiance to read several books.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to say
it. We all know about your fiance. All right, we get it.
It's true.
Exactly.
We got your fiance and Fantastic's girlfriend and...
You're a man whore. We know.
Just saying.
Himbo, exactly. After that, we went right into the World of Warcraft funeral debacle.
I don't think it's a debacle. I don't think it needs to be discussed. I certainly don't think it's news.
Well, at the very least, I recommend that you go to YouTube.com, find the video, download it, and watch it yourself.
I can't wrap this show up quick enough so I can go and giggle my ass off at those stupid idiots who went into a player versus player area unarmed for a stupid funeral. Dummies.
Exactly.
And finally, we close the episode tonight talking about a documentary
which appeared on Starz called Comic Books on Film, which I happen to think is a horrendous piece of garbage that perpetuates negative stereotypes about geeks, about comic book geeks in particular, and about the way that comic books are perceived in the film industry and how this sort of documentary filmmaking is what creates these negative stereotypes. And we studied tonight, in correlation with episode 14, the effect, or rather the lack of effect, that female superheroes have made in the film industry.
Right.
And as we said, in upcoming weeks, we are going to talk about other parts of this documentary and how awful they are.
Yes.
I'm really proud of you today.
Why?
I think you've come along. I don't think your original argument I got about this guy, I think you were just pissed at this guy. You're pissed that they had this inexperienced... he looked like he was at a school, didn't he? It looked like he was teaching a class on comic books, comic book writing or something like that, and they tapped him.
He looked like a boob.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You come a long way.
Fantastic.
No.
Fantastic.
What?
Shut the fuck up.
And on that note, we cue the music. Friday night, to get the feeling right, at the bar when he sees her coming over. What you gonna do? She walks up to you, tongue-tied, better get yourself together. Have another drink, give him time to think. What's your sign? Hey, I think you know a friend of mine. All the stupid lines that he had ever heard wouldn't come to mind, he couldn't say a word. Seems it wasn't just a dream. All around the world, people shouted out.